There is a saying in the Marine Corps, every Marine a rifleman. The Marines are a huge organization, one of six branches of our United States military. There are accountants, engineers, nurses, highly trained specialists, a finely tuned, well-oiled machine. And yet, no matter what your role is, you know how to handle a rifle. Every Marine is combat ready. Every Marine, a rifleman. There's power in language like that. Shared language that helps shape a culture and reinforce mission. Last year after Easter, 2025 after Easter, we began leaning into a shared language to help shape culture, reinforce mission, in effect, help us to be rightly named and know who we are. Core worship, we are rooted, restful, relational. We are rooted first and foremost in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the second person of our triune God. We are rooted in Scripture, and that which we looked at right before reading helps us to know the story and how it goes. That's our story, the story of God, the story of us. We are rooted in the church and in the Global Methodist Church. We are a liturgical church, and we are rooted in liturgy. This helps us remember our story that we experience year in and year out, and we've come through Advent, Christmas, embarking upon Epiphany. Lent is coming next, and so much of our story is ordinary time where we are living this out, but we are rooted in a community called Marvin Methodist Church here in Tyler, Texas, Smith County, East Texas, the world. We are also relational, formed by rhythms and practices that keep us tethered to God and one another, rooted, restful, and we are relational with our triune God. We are relational with each other. We call that the church. But none of this terminates on us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about me. I'll say that again. We are relational with the world and all the places that we go, day in, day out, week in, week out. We are there not by happenstance, but on point, on purpose, on mission for God. It's His mission. We are with Him, with each other, seeking to be the faithful presence of God's love in all the places that we go. And last year, we preached an overview over all three, rooted, restful, relational. And then into the summer, we spent 3 weeks on rooted. Then at the end of summer, as school was starting, we spent 3 weeks on relational. And this morning, we're talking about God's presence as a prelude to restful. If all of this is foreign to you, our YouTube channel has these sermons, and you can review that content really just to better know who we are, why we are, shared culture, language, mission. In the text that Laura read, this prelude to restful, we see God's presence flowing forth from the temple, and it starts as a trickle. It becomes a river, and its purpose to cover the world with God's glory. I want you to notice this. Ezekiel did not dig this river. He did not direct its flow. He did not measure it out or count out the steps. He was led. Church, God's presence is the source of life and mission. We don't create it. We enter in. And Ezekiel is being led by one whose appearance is like bronze, like the Son of God. And that one showed Ezekiel that God's glory, it moves like water, flowing out from the temple, proceeds from the altar, which is where life begins. Think about it. Our children, how many of them were baptized here at this altar? Man and woman become husband and wife standing here at this altar. Life is celebrated, then laid to rest, starting from this altar. And who of us did not respond to an altar call? We came to the altar when we accepted Christ, laid down our lives, surrendered to Him, because He laid down his life on the altar, so to speak. Jesus is the source of life. He's the source of the headwaters in this passage. And Ezekiel is led into the water. He's not crossing from one side to the other, bank to bank. He's entering at the source, going deeper as he is being led. 1,000 cubits out, and he's ankle deep. Your Bible's probably like mine. Look at verse 3, 47, Ezekiel 47. There's a footnote that says cubits, 1,000 cubits. And I look down at letter D. 1,000 cubits, about 1,500 feet. It's about 500 yards or 5 football fields. That's how far Ezekiel has been led. 1,000 cubits, ankle deep. Another 1,000, he's knee deep. 1,000 more, he's waist deep. And yet still another 1,000 cubits, he's water too deep to cross. Over his head, only swim in. Water is to be feared and respected. It is devastating, and you only need to experience one hurricane to know that. Wreaks consequences, powerful, at times destructive. Water is symbolic of life, like when your mother's water broke and you came into this world. Water is symbolic of death, like we're laid into the water, identifying with Christ in his death, raised to new life in Christ. In Ezekiel's vision, water flows from the temple as the source of life, and that water represents God, his presence, his power, his ministry in the world. And Ezekiel is in deep. But he's not in over his head. Ezekiel is in deep. The Lord is leading him. And God is meant to be experienced not as a spectator from the water's edge, but by those who are invited in, those who respond 1 cubit at a time, 1 step at a time. Jesus is the source of life. Wading into the water is our response to who he is, what he's done, what he's doing. Who is he? Son of God, Savior of the world. Jesus is God with skin on. What has he done? He died as an atonement for our sin, reconciling us to God and to each other. What is he doing? He's at work in the world, inviting us to respond to what he's doing, joining him in his work, redeeming all creation. And his most prized possession is represented in this room, you and me, humanity. God's mission is to win the hearts of men and women everywhere, especially in the places where you and I go. And he invites us to join him in what he's doing. It's his mission that begins by entering into the water. And when we're ankle deep, it's like our feet are being fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That's awkward grammar, feet fitted with the readiness, but that's Ephesians 5, 6. Feet fitted. We're saying, I'm willing to step in. Yep. I surrender. When we're ankle knee deep, our relationship with Christ is marked by prayer and listening. And we're becoming more and more familiar with God's voice as he is leading. Maturity is happening. When we're waist deep, intimacy deepens. Fruit is being produced. And eventually that water is over our heads. We're no longer standing, but we are being carried by the Spirit, and that's the goal. Yes. But we start somewhere. We're saved and being saved. We don't have the market cornered as Methodists, but we believe salvation and sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ, is everything. It's the point. It's the purpose. And there are 4 movements here that get to that. We're talking availability, dependence, participation, surrender. And at every depth along the way, the truth remains the same. God's presence is the source of life and ministry. We don't create it, we enter in. And then in verse 6, do you see this? God's presence is pouring forth ever growing, ever increasing, and the effects of his ministry are wide-reaching. And this is the work of God's presence in the world, saving, healing, making people whole. And it is for every nation, every person, every living thing in the water is affected. And yet this vision, it does not say every fish will be caught. It says the fishermen will fish. All are affected by God's presence. He sends the rain on the good and evil alike. All, but not all, respond. In verse 10, the fishermen cast their nets far and wide because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Along the banks of that river, verse 12, there are trees of every kind, an abundance, a diversity, just like we who are in this room, and we are producing fruit that sustains life, brings healing. Beside this river, with our roots running deep, the righteous will flourish. There is life in the water. God's presence is life, and it flows forth from this temple to cover the earth with God's glory. And as we wade in from the headwaters, we either give ourselves to this movement or we experience its power at a distance. I mean, we could tiptoe in and splash about there, linger at the edge, but we might miss out on the more of God, and he's got so much more in store for all of us. So let me ask you, where are you standing in relation to the water? Some of us are standing on the bank, observing God's work from afar, but never entering into the water. Some of us are ankle deep, curious, but cautious. All of us are being invited to go deeper, not to do more, but to trust more. So what does entering in look like for you right now? Leanne and I attended Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky, and while we were there, we went to a Wesleyan charismatic church. Leanne was actually on staff doing student ministry. Great Commission Fellowship was that church's name, that worshiped in a huge campground where they had camp meetings year in, year out. It was a big tabernacle that sat 600 people, mostly college and seminary students in attendance. And so there were some seasons it was packed, and there were other seasons that it was not because everybody went home for holiday. But that building had no HVAC, no heating, no air conditioning, which meant in the winter we brought blankets with us to church. In the summer, there were three garage doors on either side that were open and commercial fans that helped circulate warm air in the room, but it's not Texas humidity. And there was no running water there in that tabernacle. So bathrooms, childcare, nursery, up the hill, go to the bathroom before worship began. It was a beautiful, simple season in the life of that church and in the lives of Mark and Leanne Donaldson. And worship at Great Commission Fellowship lasted almost 2 hours. And that was their culture at GCF. The opening worship set 30 to 45 minutes, and then there was a halftime with coffee and donuts and fellowship there in that space. And then we worshiped a little bit more before the pastor preached the sermon, and there was always a response time after he preached. Culture of response. That's where that was cultivated in me. That's why we do what we do, because God is at work in the room. We want to pay attention, be familiar, and respond in here so that we can respond out there. This right now is not the point of our gathering. This is. Yes, Lord. It is all about Jesus. And during that season, There was a hunger in me that I discovered, and God fanned that flame, and it's where I coined, or not coined, but picked up on the phrase, there's got to be more. I heard someone else say it, adopted it as my own, and I believe it because God is that big. Yes. And we're always learning about self. Lord, give me more. Lead me more and show me more. That church, GCF, was expressive in worship. People raised their hands. Some waved banners, and there was grace for everybody's differences and uniqueness. There was one guy who brought in a French horn, and he played from the congregation by ear as the band was leading us in worship. One particular Sunday morning, as we are singing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, this ancient, historic Christian hymn, there was a friend of ours named Misty, who just sprinted from the back of that space to the front, down this slope towards the altar space, with banner in hand, almost like she is running into battle. Definitely as she is running, like she's running after the Lord. And when we asked her about it afterwards, Misty said, it's almost like just praising, clapping. It wasn't enough. I wanted to run. And she was artistic and at times danced, but beautiful. It was not disruptive. I don't think that she or anyone else ever did it again, but it made an impression. What I do know is not long after she endured a divorce and instantly became a single mother of four young children. And then a little while after that, I know that Misty was led to Kansas City away from Kentucky to be a missionary, a prayer missionary, supporting the mission field and the awakening that's unfolding around the world. I also know that Misty was caught up in the flow of God's presence, and she was following his lead, his move, totally aware of what God was doing. Church, I want you to hear me say this. I'm not saying we need to worship like that. I am saying we need to heighten our awareness to what God is doing in this moment and in those moments. I'm not saying we need to run to the altar, but if you do, mind the steps, please. But I am saying sometimes there is sacrifice and surrender involved in taking that next cubit, yes, as God leads, going with him. And this is who we are, and what we are trying to cultivate is a culture of response. And so let's pay attention to what God is doing and how he is leading. He's not asking us. God is not asking us to manufacture a response, only to be faithful to the movement we have been given, moment by moment. How are you leading? Church, we don't have to generate the mission. God is already moving. And he's inviting us to step into everything that he is doing. God's presence is already flowing in the world with life, in power, and the mission of God does not depend on us starting something new. It's on us to respond to what he is doing. Yes. He's inviting us to respond. So remember this. God is the source of life and mission. Rooted, relational. God is the source of life and mission. We don't create it. We just enter in. We receive it as a gift, and that's rest. That's where we're heading. And so, where are you standing in relation to the water? Are you on the edge? Are you ankle deep? He's inviting us to go deeper. I'm excited to see how he leads us. Lord, we give all of this to you. And we pray that you would have your way, that none of this would terminate on us. It's not about us. It's about the sacred other. So Lord, give us your heart, give us your eyes, give us your ears, and put a fire in our bones. Come, Holy Spirit, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.